Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Well, Glory, I just want to remind you that December 19th on a Friday night is coming up. We want all of you to be here, please. So enjoy it with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. We appreciate everybody that's with us online and wherever you're at. We put out a prophecy last week sometime. It was, humble yourself and I will walk this with you. So it was on the back table. Candy might have put that up. Did you? It's on the shelves now. If you didn't get one of those, please stop by and get it. Hallelujah. I found myself this afternoon in the place where I've often talked about, along with that fellow that Dave drove up alongside of in his allegory, crawling down the sidewalk. Hallelujah. And sometimes you say, well, why don't you just stay home and rest? And the answer is, because you're the pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for those of you that can, God bless you. But I'm going to, I don't know how long, minister tonight, but to save my voice for Sunday. Hallelujah. It's just a symptom. Hallelujah. All of this is lying symptoms, wherever it's at, and we're speaking to it, already healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This was a recent prophecy that I've been meditating, and I know that it speaks to far more than just myself. But the Lord said this on August 17th of this year, just a few months ago. He said, I dwell in the dark, in the dungeons of despair. Actually, I was reading the title. The title is, I dwell in the dark to bring you into the light. Now listen to this and just meditate it. It's on our website. But it's awesome what the Holy Spirit said to us. I dwell in the dungeons of despair, he said. The deep, dark places of hopelessness according to natural hope. I've shackled myself. I love this. You have to imagine Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the person of God. He's real. He's so real. I've shackled myself to you in your trial. In your burden, says the Spirit of grace. For I, the Lord, who has redeemed you, have also stepped back into dark places with you, says the Spirit of grace. What could that mean? Physically? Emotionally? Whatever your trial is, and sometimes it's multiple. For I have not sent the trial, that's one thing we have to always know, that has come to try you, that battles every moment of hope. But hope, listen to this, and there's scripture on this out of Romans. We don't have it here, but I believe it's Romans chapter 4. But hope against hope, says the Spirit of grace. Know this, as I said in the Psalms, I will make your bed, I will comfort you. And raise you up. Know this, I've shackled myself to you as a prisoner of your faith to bring you forth. That the position that I paid the price for, together, you and I will come out of this. Stand fast in hope, knowing that I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I dwell in dark places to bring you up, those whose cheek is against the earth and only are tasting the dust of despair. Mine is not a high and lofty place or a party spirit, but I love to dwell with the hurting. I love to dwell with those in despair, that I may bring them forth and cause them to stand in a place of strength and hope, says the Spirit of grace. So know this, there's light in the darkness. There is promise Hold to my promise. Hold to my promise. It is life and health to your body, and marrow to your bones, and to your navel of your flesh. All that you have is based upon my word, says the Spirit of grace. Hope against hope, and I will bring you forth, says the Spirit of grace. I've shackled myself to you in the dungeons of despair, that you and I would hope against hope and come forth in life and light and everything that I have provided for you, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is doing something in our midst. Praise the Lord. Have you noticed that more and more people are starting to gravitate in here? Even on our Wednesday nights, and with so many people that are gone and missing that are normally here, there's a hunger that's coming. Hallelujah. Be part of it. Be part of it. People are starting to dream dreams of things that are incredible. A few weeks ago, I had a dream. I told Candy, I said, Candy, I don't know about this dream. It seemed to be, I wondered about it to start with, and I just presented it before the Lord, but it's coming up now. So incredible that I woke up out of it, and it was probably one of the realest dreams, one of those real dreams. When I say there was a mixture, there seemed to be a fight even in the midst of the dream. But I was in a place, and Candy and I were in a room, and there was all of a sudden, I'd been on the outside. I don't know if I was in a hotel or where I was at, but there was a little boy, and he probably was not bigger than Luke. And he came by me, and he had, I could tell it was cancer all down his face, his cheek, and the side of his body. And I thought, oh my God, this little child, he needs help. And I just started to touch him, and he ran from me. And a voice said, it had to be God, he's scared that you're going to touch it because it hurts too much to touch it. And so I left that part of the dream, and I walked into a room where Candy was at. And then within just a moment, you know how dreams are, it's just amazing. This little boy comes in the room. He comes right into our hotel room or where it was at. And he came over to where Candy and I were at. And Candy picked him up. And she had him like this. He was that small. And I was right beside her. And I began to pray. And as I began to pray, it was as if I was looking at something I'd never seen in the natural, this kind of miracle. But in the dream, it was almost as real as life as I'm standing here in this pulpit. Layer after layer of these scabbish wounds that were all down his face and his side, layer after layer, was like a pencil eraser. Began to just erase them line after line after line after. I said to Candy, watch this. What are we seeing? What are we seeing? And in just a moment's time, the flesh completely turned to complete and pure baby flesh again. It was incredible. These things are coming. The reality of that world, that realm, is here. And we need to begin to believe and receive that the things that are impossible in the natural become a reality in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Let's just read a little bit. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then I'm just going to comment some things, because, as I said, I'm going to save my voice for Sunday. We'll probably have a shouting message. I don't know. Hallelujah. You pray for me. Pray for your pastor. I pray for you. Please pray for me. As often as the Holy Spirit brings me up, I appreciate your prayers. Paul asked for prayer. Jesus went to his disciples, even those that were not born again, and said, please pray. They couldn't do it, but there's times where people need prayer, and I appreciate your prayers. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We haven't read this chapter, so let's kind of finish it up in short. And then I think maybe Harry's going to come and lead us a little bit more in worship tonight. Hallelujah. We just sit in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Some people brought in their Bibles tonight, and they said, we brought our Bibles in. So if, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Everybody's got Bibles. It looks so good. Wave at your with your Bible. That's so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I ordered a Bible. It's coming in tomorrow. I'm not forsaking my King James, but Homer has been sharing out of the New King James for years. I'm just going to take a gander at some of this. Do not tell Pastor Jim Martin. Please do not tell him. He'll be here in February. Don't tell him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It just takes out the these and thous. And as far as I know, nothing else. Jim, let us know if it does. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you for your word, just to be able to read your word and reflect in the power of it. We love you, Holy Ghost. Multiply your word to us. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so precious. You're so precious. We exalt you and praise and magnify you. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is actually probably the last lesson. It's been so many weeks, I can't remember the last time. But let's recheck chapter 4, just so we did say that we had went through Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God, he says, and he's talking to Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to judge the quick, those that are alive, those that are dead, and those that are spiritually dead, of course. He says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Hallelujah. To me, what does that mean? Come to church. Hallelujah. When every part of your body and all kinds of things, boy, Homer has admonished us to be here and be as faithful as possible. Something happens in this little church. Glory be to God. So be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I don't think this verse would go over very well in most modern American churches today. Maybe that's an overreach to say most, but no, you're right. Homer says you're right. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Who are you to rebuke me? Who are you to say anything to me? But Paul was saying this to Timothy. If you're going to have a strong church, Timothy, there'll be times where from the pulpit there's going to have to be, and if necessary, privately. Paul even stretched it, said, look, if it comes down to it, rebuke publicly and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For he says this, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll heap to themselves, in other words, they'll find the teacher. And it's like a shopping mall now. You can find the teacher you want. It's so easy. If you don't like this teacher, you can find another one. Yes, sir. And if that one says something cross grain of what you believe or what your flesh wants to indulge in, you can find another one. You can just keep tuning that channel until you find the one that says, ooh, that's the one. They say what I like to hear, and they scratch my itch. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm glad for people that pray in tongues. I'm glad that for people that won't let me teach anything but truth, because they're praying for me and they're praying the mysteries. And they'll know if I start doing anything different. They shall run after, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But he says, watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Boy, if there's any key to 2 Timothy, it's sobriety in doctrine and endurance in afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. In other words, always be ready to share the gospel. Make full proof of thy ministry. And this is so precious because Paul's coming to the end of his life. For I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Hallelujah. I fought a good fight. And I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. We love your appearing, Jesus. We love your appearing, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, he's telling Timothy. For Demas, now here's one of maybe the scariest scriptures to me in the New Testament, among many other things that Paul or the apostles wrote, but just the way of example of this. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world and departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to, now he's not naming these other guys, saying they departed and loved the world, to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Now, you don't have to turn there. You can if you're quick enough, but let's talk about Demas for just a moment. When I said it's really scary, because Paul said he has forsaken me. Well, what's Paul's condition? He just said, I'm about ready to be offered. Tradition says that he was executed in Nero the emperor, his courtyard. He died by the sword, and I believe tradition says he was beheaded. So a sword cut off his head, and instantly he was with the Lord. I'm sure he went to that place with no fear, knowing that instantaneously he was going to be with the Lord. But he talks about, for the church's sake, that where he's at, and he's about to be offered, and he shares something that this is important for us. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's amazing, because what we have to look at is, who is this man Demas? Well, we don't know, have a whole lot of facts on him by the word of God. We don't know if he was married. We don't know if he had a business prior. We don't really know a whole lot about him, except that Paul mentions him in two other places prior to this. These two places are in Colossians and Philemon, and they were both written, Colossians 4 and then Philemon 1. That's only one chapter, of course. Both of these books were written about 4 to 6 years prior to Paul writing 2 Timothy. And they're both written from Rome. So one's written to the Colossians, to Colossae. And he says in Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, and I'm just leading down to this, he's kind of giving his salutation in this book as well. 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them of Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the guy that was always with him, the beloved physician, and Demas, the same guy that he spoke of in 2 Timothy, greet you. So he was a traveling companion. He was a traveling companion, And for years, he was a traveling companion with Paul, which is amazing. And Philemon, he writes there, salute you, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, and Marcus, and Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. Marcus is, from what I understand, he's John Mark, which actually wrote the book of Mark. And so Paul, Paul and Barnabas had a problem. They had fell out one time with each other. And I love the Bible because it gives us the good, the bad, and the ugly. So Paul and Barnabas in the early days, when they first started out and started traveling, Mark was Barnabas's nephew, his sister's son. And Mark left him in the middle of a missionary journey, and Barnabas wanted to take him on the second missionary journey, and Paul said, no, we're not going to. And that's when they had a big split, and there was contention among them. Hallelujah. How many understand that contention can be healed? And it's okay to have sometimes a fight, but don't stay there. Get over it. Keep going. And so Paul did, and Paul got past all that, obviously, because Mark became a very valuable person in Paul's life. Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, or Lucas, look at this, my fellow laborers. These are fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And he concludes, and we're in Philemon. Demas, here's some observations, and this is the point I wanted to make here, and it's worth making. It's not a happy point, but it's something that we need to look at in a real sense of the word of seriousness concerning our own lives and going forward in Christ. Demas was a traveling companion and a fellow laborer, as Paul described him, with Paul for many years. And yet Paul needed him. When Paul needed him the most, he left him because he loved the world. He loved the world. He loved the present. It's not the word cosmos. It's the word eon, I believe, which means the present time, the time in which he lived in. We're not told that Demas left Christianity completely. I pray he never did, and if he did, if he backslid for a while, I pray to God he got it right before he left the planet. But we're not told that Demas completely left Christianity, but that he turned his affections back to the world rather than completing his assignment with Paul. The Amplified says this, for Demas has deserted me for love of this present world, and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia, or Macia. So some may think, now just think about this for just a moment. Some may think that if you could have had the opportunity to walk with the Apostle Paul, what a privilege that would have been. Really, incredible. Like, man, hang out with Paul, doctrine, power, presence, establishing churches, an apostle, everything that, I mean, just, what's that? And persecution. Demas probably, that might have been one of his reasons why. It just, he could not endure it long enough. And that's a good point, Homer, absolutely. Some may think they could have had, if they could have had the opportunity to walk with the Apostle Paul, what a privilege that would have been. But this is a living example, what we just looked at in these three particular separate Colossians and Philemon and 2 Timothy. This is a living example that every man must continue to keep their eyes and their hearts focused on the Lord all the way to the end. All the way. All the way. What was in Thessalonica that drew Demas back? I don't know. Was it a job opportunity? I mean, did somebody say, hey, you know, when you get through ministering with Paul, come back here? Was it a possible romance? I don't know. There could have been so many different things, but something drew him back to Thessalonica, and I think that probably having been around Paul and having seen all the attacks, the continual attacks, and especially now Paul's in prison, but when Paul, he's not in prison with Paul, but when Paul's in prison and needing him the most, he leaves and goes back to Thessalonica. Mark chapter 4 tells us this. You don't have to turn there. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's an incredible, important lesson in this closing chapter of 2 Timothy to understand that here's a living example of a man that was a fellow laborer with Paul, walked with him, obviously had a call on his life, or Paul would have never let him come in to his circle. And yet he finally found a way to say, this is enough. And it can't ever be enough for us. We can't ever come to a place where enough is enough, enough of Christ, or enough of the persecution. We have to keep going. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Now we're back in 2 Timothy now. For he's profitable to me for the ministry. So Paul says, this guy that me and Barnabas had a split over earlier, now there's a good example. Mark cowered out, but he came back. Hallelujah. For some reason, Mark, as a young man, says, I won't go on. Tychicus, have I sent to Ephesus the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus? When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchment. Paul is continually wanting to read the word of God and the truth all the way up to his execution. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He's telling this to Timothy. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. At his first answer, in other words, what he's saying is, when I first went to before Caesar for my trial, no man stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla, Aquila, in the house of Onesiphorus, Esterus abode at Corinth, and Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Ebulus greeteth thee, Pudens and Linus and Claudius and all the brethren. And the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with thee. Amen. The second epistle unto Timothy, ordained the first bishop of the church of Ephesus. And it was written, of course, as I said, from Rome, when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. Hallelujah. Harry, come and let's just worship a little bit. We've got some time. Let's just give another 10, 15 minutes to just sitting in the presence of the Lord. We had a reading tonight and a short exhortation. I know it was short, but let's just continue to prepare our heart in the reflection of God's word tonight. I'm glad that everybody's here. At least we got some word in. Amen. Let's sit in the presence of the Lord at least for another 15 minutes. And those of you that are online with us, thank you for being with us. We love you. I'm saving my voice. And We appreciate all of you being here with us. Hallelujah. Amen.